Hello and welcome to episode 557 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I am your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me everywhere at Hey Dude Meg.
Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. So it's been a little bit. We had a break. How are you guys doing? Yeah.
Good.
How are you?
Very good. I'm doing well. I enjoyed my vacation. Mostly rested and relaxed. There you go.
Good.
Same
I did not
here.
Watch. Oh,
I was going to say, I also had like a mini vacation after I attended the Bentonville Film Festival. And then, which was awesome. It was another great year for that. It ended with Maddie's Secret, which Joey and I could talk about at length at some other time. But my mom and I did a little road trip. And, you know, I put on my bucket list, taking a mineral bath with your mom. Knock that off my bucket list because the mineral springs... Mineral springs are in Eureka Springs, so my mom and I did a mineral bath together, and it was a lot of fun. So I've rested and relaxed too.
And then that knocked Clarence out.
That Clarence, I'm out of here.
I'm still here. Sorry, camera issues. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Joey.
Oh, I didn't do anything. We had Pride, which was fun. I got stoned for the first time ever.
I know, and he sent me a video.
That should be our clip for this week.
Please don't. I was really mad because, 42, getting high for the first time. I was mad because I was taking gummies, and I wanted to be stoned for the parade, and it wasn't kicking in. And so I was like, I took three. They were low dose, but I took three and nothing happened. And then the following day, I took three in a more rapid succession. And I got to say, the first time being really high in the front row of a Y2K themed drag show when a drag queen is performing as Sandra Bullock for Miss Congeniality, and you're screaming like, oh, no, it's one. I'm so excited. And I'm like this the whole time. There are pictures. But yeah.
It's funny that I got high for the first time this past year too, on because I drank too much of Willie's tonic on Christmas Eve and tripped balls and thought that the devil and Jesus were fighting for my soul. It was kind of like I was visited by, you know, like the three ghosts of like the
Yeah,
I told you about this.
You did, but
you get high and you get all existential and religious.
I know. I thought that my soul was, they were fighting for my soul.
I just get really, I could not stop laughing. Like, I could not stop laughing.
Yes.
I felt like my hat, like, I was the same way with you, like you, where I was like, I'm not high. And then all of a sudden it just felt like, whoop, my head popped open.
No, I was sitting at a table and I was like touching my cheeks like this. I was like, my face feels funny. And I like turned over to Jason and he goes, it's happening. And I was like, what do you mean? And I was like, you're stoned. I was like, I'm not stoned. Oh my God, this is crazy. And I couldn't stop up. Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the first time I got high?
No.
No, please.
I was probably in my 30s, somewhere mid 30s. And my best friend and I went. We were going to go to, so Evan Rachel Wood's father is a local theater guy.
God, I forgot about this guy.
And I can't stand him. Like, she's great and he is beloved here, but he does a version of A Christmas Carol where it's one of those productions where they stop and say, you look like Miss Britney Spears. Like that's what Scrooge says, or like the Ghost of Future Presence. The year that I saw it was Deal or No Deal.
Oh,
I'm going to kill myself. Like,
it's not
third hand.
Yeah, it's not. So anyway, he starred in a production of On Golden Pond where, yes, he played the Henry Fonda role. And I wanted to go really badly because I wanted to see how he hammed up that role. And so we thought, my friend and I thought it would be a really great idea to try to have pot brownies before we go. And so I had this large ample because I love sweets, right? So I had this ample brownie size. And then we went to dinner beforehand because I was like, I can't eat pot brownies on an empty stomach. So then we went to dinner. Halfway through the dinner, I could not stop laughing. Like it just, I'm like, this is nothing. This is nothing. And all of a sudden, I just burst into laughter and laughed through the whole thing, went to the production, laughed through the entire first act, and it was not intended to be funny.
Oh my
Sat in the
God.
back, got so many nasty looks, and then we left at intermission.
Oh my
Yeah.
God. That's
Then we did
crazy.
like a year later, we went to see a production of Florence Foster Jenkins. They had turned it into a play and
Oh.
did the same thing. Went from
That would be
an
fun to be watch. That's the only way to watch that is to be high, I would think.
Again, didn't make it all the way through it. Got high off a pot brownie and then walked 3 or 4 miles from the restaurant to the theater. And to this day, that is a blank spot in my memory. I have no memory of how we got there. No idea. All of a sudden, we just
Oh my
showed up there, and I
God.
was like, did I teleport?
So
It's like what,
oh
like the Watergate 17 minutes? Where's Jimmy
my
Hoffa's body?
Yes.
Like, how high was Claire's
Rosemary
voice? was erasing my
Oh
memory.
my God. There was a point where we came home because this was on a Sunday and I was sitting on the couch and Jason had to get up early to go to work and I was sending him selfies of me on the couch and be like, "Hey, I'm feeling really good right now." And he was like, "Okay." And I was like, "I wanted a snack. I got chips and queso. Is that okay?" And he was like, "Yes." So.
So, yeah, think about we're watching The Pit and they pick up a phone. And Joey goes, I want queso. And they have like a
That's how
baby's heart in their hand and they're pumping it, trying to get it to live. And
that's how they
Joey's
know the
like,
dramatic stakes are
should I
over.
buy queso? It's
Like
like,
it's.
So let me break down how each of us, you giggled like crazy when you were high, Clarence. Joey, you were in shock or something, or how were you feeling?
Hold on.
Paranoid?
No, I wasn't paranoid at all. I
No.
felt very light and very good.
Okay, I felt like existential dread, which I
Yeah,
feel
I'm not
like.
getting high with you.
No,
No. I was
that
like
does not
Larry
seem
David.
fun.
I don't know if you've ever seen that episode where Larry David gets high and he's just like pointing in the mirror, that's
Have to
every time
find
I.
like I have to find the picture of me freaking out at the drag show. I'll find it. When I go to in the past couple of years, I went to Telluride. There's a pot store near where we used to stay, and I was always like, oh, I should try that while I'm here. I'm not driving, and then I'm like, but the altitude is, it just seems like a
Yeah,
lot
that
to
would
pile
be a
on.
bad
Like, this
combination.
is me freaking out at the gay bar.
You do look light and carefree.
Because there's Jan Sport, the drag queen, right there, dressed up as Statue of Liberty from Miss Congeniality.
Oh my
So when
God.
Joey
This
goes
episode
missing,
is brought to you by Cheech and Chong's Jelly.
when Joey goes missing one day, that's the picture we'll use to put on the milk carton.
No! This is brought to you by Willie's Tonic. Willie's
Yeah.
Tonic, it'll have you on your ass.
Well, let me think of a segue. Something that doesn't have you on your ass is Apple TV's Widow's Bay, which is actually quite
Segue.
good.
Good segue.
I don't
That
know.
was good. Way better than I could do. Yeah.
So we are here not to talk about or advocate for non-medicinal marijuana usage. We are here to talk about Apple TV's Widow's Bay, which Apple, I was explaining this in the post. Apple released this several months ago on their screener portal, and that's always a really good sign when they have something out there for a long time. I didn't get around to watching it until right around the time it premiered in the end of April, and it seemed like critics liked it. It had a 98 on Rotten Tomatoes and a high 70 on like a 78 on Metacritic. But it seemed like the reception was initially very muted. Like it just, I thought it was going to be one of those things. It's like, oh, that's, it's a good show, but you know, it just kind of died. Nobody was talking about it. But then I don't know what happened in the beginning of June. Literally everybody online all of a sudden at once was started to talk about the show. And it's a perfect time for that, for Widow's Bay to catch the zeitgeist, if you will, because it was right as the Emmy ballots were going out for the 2026 Emmys. And then the Television Critics Association came out with their awards, and it got four awards, which is not something I'd ever expected. So we finally seen, Joey, did you finish it?
Yep.
So we finally seen all of Widow's Bay. We highly recommend that all of our listeners and watchers also watch all of Widow's Bay. But we're going to break it down. We're going to talk about it. We're going to see what we liked, what we didn't like, and talk about one of the most controversial things, which is it is being campaigned in the comedy races. And at least one of us thinks it's hilarious. And maybe someone else ponders whether or not it's a comedy. And then talk about what we think it's going to do at the Emmys. Sound good?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. And then, of course, we'll close with the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. Spoiler alert, it's a light week. Unless you're into Minions. But
Minions is taking on, aren't they taking on like voting rights or something in this series?
I don't know what they're doing, but
like suffragettes and stuff? Like, isn't that what it's about?
I don't know, but I saw a title of a review that was like, it was alluding to the fact that they were digging into cineast or like cinema lover comedy, because it's all like referential to like classic monsters or something like that. I don't know.
Okay. I heard so it was about women's voting.
Oh, wow.
That is quite the array. Anyway, so let's go back to Widow's Bay. So in case everybody didn't know, Katie Dippold, the person famous for the Babadook Halloween party tweet
from
10 years ago, who was also a Mad TV writer, who was a writer on Parks and Rec, who was...
She wrote The Heat.
She wrote another film too. Was it Ghostbusters? Did she co-write Ghostbusters?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She developed a show and was the showrunner for Widow's Bay, which is also directed by Hiro... What's his last
Murai.
Name? Murai. Yes, Hiro Murai. And it is essentially a very Stephen King-y story about a island that is trying to be the new Nantucket or the new Martha's Vineyard. It's been a long time since I've seen Martha's it, so it's Vineyard. One of those Martha's Vineyard.
Martha's Vineyard.
But they're horribly cursed by mysterious, horrible things that keep happening. It's like every episode, toward the end, every episode seems to have like a horror movie inspiration behind it, which I really loved. And yeah, so the first season kind of explores what's going on. Does it answer everything? No, but it's a lot of fun along the way. And that's what I would really kind of classify this show. I think, well, I want to see your opinions first, but I do think it's mostly a lot of fun. I think it maybe wears out its welcome a little bit in that last episode. I think it goes on a little bit too long, but I had a really good time with it.
I agree. And I wanted to say, I think that the moment that I knew that the show hit the zeitgeist, I think was episode 4 with Katie O'Flynn's,
Patricia's,
that big episode. I think that was when, cause I kept seeing the dance and I'm like, why are people talking about this? I've got to start watching this. And then when I realized what was happening and because you know, if it's like blink and you miss it type of what's happening in that dance sequence. So I feel like that was kind of the moment where I was like, oh, this is catching fire. I think that was where it really started to cook, so to speak.
It's by far the best episode of that first season. I absolutely love that episode. She should get all the Emmys for that.
I think
she is fantastic in that episode. I don't remember if we made this joke on the podcast or not, but Katie O'Flynn is very good in this role. But initially when I watched the show, I thought, was Alison Brie not available? Because she looks so much like Alison Brie. But that would be disrespectful to Katie O'Flynn, because she's actually giving a tremendous performance. I'm not sure Alison Brie could do the same thing here.
I think she, I mean, I think they're both different actresses. I think Alison Brie can do anything too, but she's so, you have to be a little like, Alison Brie's so charming, and so is Kate O'Flynn or Kate O'Flynn, but she has a, there's a little bit of a darkness to her that, like a little bit of an edge that I really like. And there's so many funny things. I just love this character so much.
She is very good at being someone that you want to like, but there's something a little off-putting about her, something a little needy about her, something a little neurotic about her that's kind of unpleasant, but in a minor way, and she balances that so incredibly well.
Oh, I just love
Joey,
her.
she gives me a little bit this. I don't mean this to sound reductive, but I mean like she gives me a little. I know that she's worked with Sally Hawkins before. She gives me a little bit of Sally Hawkins filtered through a little bit of Shelley Duvall. That's what she kind of reminds me of a little bit. I think I really dig this show a lot, and the thing that I think I respect the most about it is, while there are conversations to be had, and I'm sure we're going to have one about where to classify this, is I think what I appreciate is how it doesn't half-ass when it is going for a specific tone. Like the horror is like really horror, and the comedy is like really comedic, and the drama is really dramatic. And I think there's some images in this season that scare the living shit out of me. Like the clown freaked me the fuck out. I think the scariest image for me is in that episode that we're talking about, episode 4, when they're in the party or at the dance and the camera is panning around and there's that mirror and you can see everyone's like face is the same. That, oh God, oh God, I just got chills thinking about it. Freaks me out. And I kind of love how it's not giving you any everything. Like it's not overexplained. I've seen people compare it to Lost, and I've seen people compare it to a bunch of other things. And I understand where they're coming from with all the references, but I don't know. There's something really satisfying that it feels like this place feels like a real place to me. And like the humor of like an episode, I think it's episode 10, when they're I'm forgetting the character's name, Ruth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean Dale Dickey? No. Is
No,
it
Dale Dickey's Rosemary.
Rosemary? Oh, you
Livingston.
mean yes. Yes,
Where she's like
for sure.
going through the photo album and she's like, well, my daddy got taken by someone in the lake, and she just like turns the page and she's like, oh, this guy got bitten by somebody and he became that animal and turns the page. And it's like, it's really like, I'm really excited to talk about where we think we would classify this because I don't think I've seen a show where my like almost like allegiances switched so much of whether I thought it was one thing or the other. I find that exciting.
I think it's a dark comedy. I laugh so much. There's so many laugh out loud moments. Like the episode 4, I think is particularly funny. Even like when she's being chased by the boogeyman in episode 8, I think.
She's like, ah, fuck. And she
And
just
then
keeps
she like
going.
stops and looks behind. Oh, I gotta go again. And when she's like pounding on the door and goes to the book club and just goes like tases the girl. And she's like, she's the worst. She's the fucking worst. Like it's just so funny. Like I could see why there are also seriously scary scenes too. But I think I laugh a lot. I think it really balances. I've never seen a show that does like balances comedy and drama so well where you really can't like I would classify this as a comedy, but I get Clarence why you're saying it's a drama, but it does it so well back and forth. Like I just haven't seen anything on television like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a show that is hard to pinpoint, but it isn't. It isn't a, you know, these are hour 45-minute to hour long episodes, you know, and it is anchored by this central performance of Matthew Rhys, and there's a lot of trauma there. There's a lot of And in the entire town, there's a lot of legacy. There's a lot of generational trauma that haunts everybody there. And there are funny moments in it, but I think by and large, I trend more toward the dramatic side for me. But it is one of those shows that's so hard to pinpoint. But the funniest thing to me is the is the scene where they're trying to find the history of the families on the island, and Dale Dickey says she knows everything, and at one point she's like lesbian or
She's
something
like,
like
dead baby, lesbian. She's like, do you have to say
lesbian.
it like, and then she says the R word after
Yes,
that.
but she's very, very funny in what she does.
Oh,
It's
Dale Dickey is so good. I love everything she's doing.
there's like a thing where you know, I was like, Matthew Reese, great actor. You have that. I did not know Dale Dickey was in this. I love her.
I
Anything she
love her
pops
too.
in, you know that you are in for something very well established, something very character driven. Awesome. Jeff Hiller, forgot that he was in it. Bring
He
him
has
on
a
in.
great moment in episode 10 too.
Yeah. It's just like, I went back and forth. Originally, when I started it, I was like, okay, this is a drama. I disagree. I think it's a drama. And then it's, I recognize all the comedic stuff, but then I kept wondering, I was like, is it actually, is the comedy the stuff that is moving the plot forward? And I don't think it is all the time. And that's why originally I thought, I was like, okay, it's a drama. But then there was the episode, speaking of all us getting high, the episode where he, I think that's episode five, three, five. Where Matthew Reese gets drinks the thing and he's high on whatever. And like, I'm sorry, that episode, the sound design and the editing of that episode are incredible. And that was the episode that made me kept laughing out loud a lot. But then at the end, episode eight is really funny with all the stuff you were saying, Megan. But like episode nine and 10, I feel go back to more of the dramatic stuff. So I don't know where I'm landing,
But then
especially with what we find out at the end of the season.
I think the stuff with Ruth is, I think it's a dark, it mixes a lot of different comedies though, like really dark comedy in that last episode with Ruth and on the couch. But like what she was doing was so funny. And also Matthew Reese's reactions to her, you know, he's thinking about, you know, offing her basically. And then he sees her run up the stairs. It's just like his point of view and everything she's doing. Like, oh yeah, I help Deirdre get up and get down every week. You do that, or every day. You do that every day. It's just like, I thought that was, there's it's darkly funny. Also, like everybody talks about that scene in the boat episode where he does like his Charlie Chaplin fall. Like, he has a lot of subtle like hilarity, I think, but maybe I'm just, maybe that's just me, but I get it. I get it. I just am arguing for comedy because I like comedy more than drama. So,
Well, I think it's an easier road. I mean, we'll talk about the Emmys later, but it is an easier road. I think it would still do well in the drama categories, but I think there's a bigger gap in the comedy races. And I think Apple is definitely pushing it into the comedy categories because they don't want it to conflict with Pluribus.
But then, would you consider Kate O'Flynn's performance a dramatic performance?
I think there would be a spectrum. I think she's right in the middle because I think some of the reasons why people are latching on to her are those kind of like sad, lonely things. Like when she gets like the wrong order and
I love that
she
scene.
calls the restaurant, she's like, I don't want to get anyone in trouble. And maybe, and I
I
don't know
just want
that
him to know. She's
I
like, I
just
just
want
want
them to
him
know.
to
I think someone like her, you can make an argument either way because she has a lot of mannerisms and a lot of, she does a lot without doing a lot that is funny, but I don't know how, if you would classify that as a comedic performance, where like I think the barometer would be like, I think like Dale Dickey is more outwardly funny, where and then maybe Kate O'Flynn is in the middle, and then you have someone like Betty Gilpin who would qualify for guest. And I was like, okay, so this is a
although
dramatic
she was
episode.
also funny though, I thought in
There,
that
the part where
episode.
she like runs into the runs in to be like, "Hey, my husband was stabbed a lot, and he's not of the devil. He is the devil." And she just goes, "Like that was fun. That's funny. That's funny shit." But I don't know. I feel like you could make an argument for Cato Flynn either way. But I guess
I feel like you could take Cato Flynn's performance and kind of pick that up and put that into a traditional sitcom, and it would be very, very funny. Like she would be the weird girl that works, you know, in the hotel, you know, like the Golden Palace or something like that.
But I think the same for Matthew Rhys, though, that he's desperately trying to sell this place, and you know, Wick is telling him, or like, you know, not even sell this place, but just like trying to sell the public on this place, and Wick's like, "What are you doing?" You know, I don't know. I think in many ways it is a funny plot that you're trying to get like people to come to this area that's haunted.
I don't know. I think, you know, given all of the material that Matthew Rhys, and he plays the mayor of the town, but he has a estranged relationship with his son because there's a dead wife, you know, and I won't spoil the what's under all that, but his is the central performance of the show, and I think his is 75% dramatic. The way I look at it, just because, and maybe it's, you know, being a parent or something like that, I don't know, but just the way that I look at that relationship with his son, the way that he's constantly tormented by his dead wife, that he's, you know, I don't know, I feel like he's more dramatic than comedic, but you know, it doesn't matter. It still should be recognized.
Yeah.
I mean, we looked at 3 years of The Bear as a comedy.
Right.
Although the first season was funnier than anything that came after that. So.
Yeah.
My Mother's Funeral was funnier than The Bear.
Was it? I was there. I don't remember. You and I made it funny.
My mom
would think that's funny.
When my dad started singing, that was that dried up all the tears.
Aww.
And I got really mad.
Oh.
Anyway, but it's a incredibly compelling show. It's a like I said, it's a lot of fun. Let's talk about that backflash, that bottle episode, Betty Gilpin and Hamish Linklater episode. First of all, I didn't realize that was him. And then all of a sudden,
me either.
Like halfway through it, I'm like, you didn't know? That Hamish Linklater? No, I had no idea.
Oh, I definitely knew. I was like, oh, it's Hamish Linklater. I was just like, what?
Well, we didn't watch it with you.
Yeah. Guess we should have watched it with the smartest person in the room.
Thank you, finally.
That was I really loved that episode too. It's one of my favorites. I think it was, and in the unexpected thing that kind of follows it, how that it is not just a bottle episode after all.
Yes.
You think it's going to be, and then there is a very purposeful plot device that gets carried out for a couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what makes it funny. The fact that it lingers so much. I don't want to spoil anything, so.
I guess when that the episode after that is also terrifying and hilarious at the same time. When Tom is trying to talk to the person.
Yes, when he comes in that room and you know who it is, and this person's sitting on the bed and you're like, what?
And then Patricia comes in, "I forgot my purse." And then when you see what she's written, I mean, I guess Patricia is a really funny character, but Tom's, like, Matthew Rhys's reactions and to that too, like, you know, when you realize the person can speak, he's like, ah, it's just like that.
I'm sorry, I meant to put this on TikTok, Megan, but there was the part where they're talking and he says something like, "I signed it in my blood and my semen." I could not stop. And the way that Matthew Rhys is just like,
yeah, he just goes like,
funny.
Yeah, the humor in his performance comes in the reactions to everybody else around
Yes.
him.
Yes. Yeah.
I wish they put
Me
more of Jeff Hiller in there because I felt like he didn't have enough
too.
material.
Even though he gets like a, he has some really good, like, I like the way that they kind of have all of these characters together, though, that like they all get something to do. Like, even with the sunset cocktails, when she's like, well, how many people have RSVP'd? He's like, none. Or he shows to her, and she's like, nobody. Why didn't you just tell me? He's like, I didn't want to. He's just like,
Oh, fuck.
sunset cocktails. I think, Megan, you should have your own sunset cocktail party.
I actually am on Friday.
Are you really? Are you wearing
It's
a?
called Sunset Cocktail.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I'm gonna wear something on my head. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but yeah, sunset cocktails.
I
If you're in
was
the area, please join me.
okay. I was telling Megan with that, so to talk about episodes that have aired within the window. Excuse me. They aired, I think, six and seven. Those are the last two episodes that aired within the window, and
Right.
they
Okay.
that's the only time that they had. It was, they're dropping episodes weekly, but they dropped those two episodes on the same day. And I assumed, and this is what I told Megan, I was like, oh, maybe they're gonna do a period costumes play for that episode six, but I'm looking at the ballot and it's they have a contemporary episode that's it's gonna be competing in contemporary costumes. And I assume they wanted to get Hamish Linklater's makeup in there for like makeup consideration, because it's like head to toe, hands, all that jazz. So
I'm glad you brought up that piece there, because that is the thing that I don't know if that hurts Widow's Bay at all, that the fact that 8, 9, and 10 are not going to be eligible for the Emmys, this nominations. But is it Kay Livingston? Is that her name? The actress who plays Ruth? I
Yes,
can't.
Kay Callahan. Kay
Kay
Callahan.
Callahan. Kay Callahan. Kay Callahan is on the ballot, so they can nominate her for best supporting actress, having seen episode 10, even though maybe they'll put in like her nominated episode might be something else, but like she can still be nominated, like, even though it wouldn't be for that specific episode that everybody's thinking of, but she could still be nominated.
Right. And this is where I don't understand that release strategy, because, her strongest material is in 10. Like
Right.
she wanders in and out. Like she's funny in parts, but it is, the emotional sort of center of that episode is her.
Yes.
And it's also disappointing because I think, as great as episode four is for Cato Flynn, it leaves out her boogeyman episode.
Right, you're absolutely right, which she's so funny in that too, and so good in that too. Yeah, it is a weird strategy. And also, we were talking about another Apple show comedy, Maximum Pleasure Guaranteed, which that also has split with episodes. So it's part of it is eligible, but part of it is not eligible. But that sometimes doesn't hurt shows though. Like, was it Handmaid's Tale that kind of did that thing and then had two seasons, like one season nominated over
Yeah, over
two
two. Yeah.
Emmy
So depending on
cycles?
like if Widow's Bay doesn't come back for next year's Emmys, those hanging episodes will be eligible
And then would the
for.
acting too, or just the episodes?
I would have to look, but that's how like something like the other two got nominated for writing, I
Right.
think. I might be making that up, but it can't. I don't think anybody expected that. But the Handmaid's Tale, I think, is probably the most notable example of that, because I think it happened more than once. I think it happened twice, where the hanging stuff ended up getting them nominations. But I wonder if maybe Apple didn't realize like how big the show was going to be, because it did feel very quiet, like you said, Clarence, and then all of a sudden it just kind of just like everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
And
Well,
I do
shame on
agree
them
that
if they
it,
didn't
yeah.
know what they had. And by the time you get to episode four, like, it just it sings.
Yeah.
And they probably had like Apple's other big comedy contender is Margo's Got Money Troubles.
Right.
And that all aired very early, like
And
a couple
also
of
has a
years.
comedy versus drama debate you and I talked
Yeah.
about before too. Yeah.
So do we all think that where do we think Widow's Bay will ultimately end up? Do you think, the hanging episodes issue will hurt it? Do you think the dancing back and forth between comedy and drama so much will hurt it?
No, I don't think.
I
I
don't
think
either.
it'll get in for series. I think it'll get in for some writing or directing too. It's definitely for Hiro Murai. I also say I think Cato Flynn gets in. I think, and I said, did I say Matthew? I think Matthew Rhys gets in. I think maybe Steven Root gets in. I also think this is my going out on a limb here. I think Matthew Rhys is the lead, the I think he's the one who could win best actor.
In a comedy is so strange.
Yeah, because we were talking about just a few months ago how like who is the lead? I was saying Jason Segel then, but I feel like nobody talks about Jason Segel's performance like as enough as they talk about Harrison Ford or it's such an ensemble. He kind of, I don't want to say I'm not a fan of the show, but I feel like he gets lost in the shuffle of the conversation sometimes. Whereas everybody is talking about like Matthew Reese's comedic performance on his expressions on the boat. And also he's beloved. He's won for did he win for the Americans?
He did.
He's gonna be nominated for The Beast in Me probably too. So, he's looking at multiple nominations. I just feel like he's the front runner.
I mean,
I,
it would be great.
yeah.
yeah, he'd be great. I think I would put Matthew Rhys at third right now. I think Rooster was a pretty big consistent hit for HBO. And I feel like they're gonna play up that campaign that he's never won an Emmy before. And
Oh, that's so hard to believe.
which is
And
crazy. So I mean, yeah.
it's hard to believe. And also, I think Rooster, there was some stat, but Rooster is their highest performing comedy debut or freshman ever or something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but
I have to watch that yet. I haven't
yeah, I kind of
watched
forgot that
that.
it existed.
Yeah, that's why. Is that a problem, though? Is that a problem that that you and I don't remember the show?
I mean, ever all the like regular people have watched it though, so I don't know.
The regular
I mean, like
people.
people who don't follow
We are
like awards.
irregular. My parents watched it.
Like
That's so Bill and Marie watched it, so
my there are a couple of women that I work with who they're older than I am, and we talk about TV all the time. And I think a good barometer of some stuff, whether it's Emmys or Oscars, like I would bounce it off of them because, like, but my manager at work, she was just like, she's like, Marty Supreme, I fucking hate that guy. I would never vote for him in a million years. He fucking sucks. Hate him. Loved her. She loved Rooster. Now she had said also, like, I would say this to his face, my husband's a good barometer for like good generic broad appeal. And like every other episode, he was like, comedy, huh? This is a comedy? Okay. And he was laughing out loud the whole time.
that's such a dad joke for him, or like a he
Oh my
sounds
God, Megan. He makes so many like the amount of times that I tell him that he needs to stop it when he's just like, well, that didn't end well, did it? Like,
oh
just
my God,
hate it.
no. He needs to be on those progress, or is it the Progressive commercial, or what's the commercial where they're like, you're turning into your parents? He
Yeah,
needs
that's
to be
him.
on
Yeah.
that. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
him.
that's him.
Yeah.
That's my husband.
So next week, we have on the 8th, we have the Emmy nominations,
Yes.
the 2026 Emmy nominations. So I think on next week's podcast, we'll probably end up breaking down what we think are going to be the major players. Do an Emmy predictions podcast, I would say, so we can carry this conversation forward, right?
Yeah, that
All right.
sounds great.
All right, very good. So we'll keep it going with Widow's Bay, but we do think it's going to be a strong player. We do think I'm always, first of all, my Emmy barometer this year is just way off. Like my compass died or something. I don't know. It got flaccid or I'm
I
not
need to
sure.
charge you like Patricia does to charge up.
But
Come on.
I so I'm just I'm very I just I feel like the things that I like are probably not going to be nominated, so I don't know. That's because I mean I think DTF St. Louis was really great, but a
Oh,
big mistake.
it's gonna get nominated.
Yeah, I don't know. So
Yes,
many people
I
are
think it's
like
gonna
putting
get
it
nominated.
lower, so I don't know.
No, I think it's gonna get nominated for sure.
All right. Very good. Well, we'll pick this up next week. Anything else on Widow's Bay?
No.
No.
All right, very good. Let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Joseph, why don't you go first?
Well, thank you, Clarence. I am still catching up with shorts from the Palm Springs International Short Fest. They just announced their winners yesterday, which people can find on the website. I am just catching up with a lot of those, and then I kind of want to watch Jaws on July 4th. Very sort of cliche thing to do, but that's what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna catch up with a lot of stuff because I feel like all been busy, so blah. Catch up.
Very nice. Megan?
I have been watching all of the Jackass movies because I went to
God.
see but shut up, Best and last week, which is kind of a clip show, but I also just reminded me how much I think I've seen every movie of the, like I'm like, how have I seen all of the Jackass movies? How do I always go to see them? And I am just been really appreciating
You
them. I
love
actually think
them.
I just love them. I love Johnny Knoxville. I love like I just love all of them. So I've been watching rewatching the or movies. I'm on Jackass Forever right now, but I think I might go back and watch the show too. Which I should be watching, like this is kind of like my break right now between, all watching Emmy stuff. I should watch Rooster. There are shows that I've been trying to watch. I started The Beast in Me, which I'm not totally jazzed about. I mean, great performances, but it's not, I don't know. I was thinking it was gonna go somewhere with like, oh, that she's, friends with Matthew, Claire Danes' character is this writer. She's becomes friends with kind of this, I don't even know what he does exactly. He's just a bad person. But and I was
Professional bad
waiting for it
person.
to kind of, what'd you say?
It's a professional bad person.
Yeah, or is he like a
I don't know.
mobster or gangster? They
I
don't
don't
really
know.
say like how he is well known. But anyway, I thought it was going to be about like how he brings out the bad in her, but it's really not. It's pretty straightforward. So I put that down for a little bit, but the performances are good, of course. So I could totally see that getting into. But then what else am I listening to Carly Rae Jepsen's new song, and PJ Harvey has a new song out. I do want to find out if the Minions are if are they, dealing with women's rights or something. I'm kind of curious about that. I need to see the invite, which people are saying Oscar, Oscar, Oscar. I do think that's a little presumptuous, but I would like to see that movie. And I'm trying to
People
think of
never do
any.
that, though. What are you talking
I know,
about?
right? They don't ever do that. But I do need to watch more TV. I'm really into squatting shows right now about squatters' rights and stuff. That's so like.
I meant like the like. Planking, but with your ass down more.
No, squatters' rights. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like when
Yeah,
they
I know what you're talking
squatters.
about.
Okay, you're just okay.
I'm just making a stupid
Terrifying.
joke.
Okay, it's terrifying. It's my new biggest fear. But anyway, that is me. Oh, and I might do water aerobics this week. I was thinking since we have a heat wave, so I might
Oh my
go
God,
take
so hot.
a water aerobics class, and I'm excited about
All right.
that.
Very good. I got nothing that can top that. So, no, I was looking at the early initial reviews for the Minions movie, trying to see if it was a suffragette thing, and it's getting good reviews across the board. So. Anyway,
So nothing about suffragettes. Did I make this up in a fever dream?
I didn't see anything about it, but I haven't really dug a lot of research into it,
Okay.
so I'll ask AI later.
Let me know what Claude
Damn
says.
yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't say AI. God forbid I get canceled. Maybe one day I can star in a Uli Boll film. Where? Sorry, let's not go over that. Yeah, I too am thinking about. I really wanted to catch up to a lot of Spielberg movies last week, and I didn't do that. I kind of just detoxed from television completely, which was really good because I picked up a really great book called The God of the Woods by Liz Moore, I think.
Oh.
It's amazing. It's an actual like I sometimes I just love to read crap that is entertaining crap. This is actually entertaining, legit fiction that you could you know, that I would see
Ooh.
somebody studying in college or school somewhere. So it's I highly recommend it. It is incredibly fascinating, and they are going to absolutely ruin it with it by making it into a Netflix TV limited series
Oh
starring
man.
Maya Hawke.
Is this for
Oh,
real or did you
yeah.
make this up?
No, this is for real. Yeah.
What is this
So
called? Okay, I'm gonna look this up.
it's called The God of the Woods. But I might try to see, I may see Jaws. I might try to go see, I don't know. I might see Minions. I don't know. It's just, we'll see.
Well, if I just search Minions and Suffragette on Twitter, the first two things that pop up says Minions and Monsters will include a small subplot set in the women's suffrage movement. It will be
So I
a love
didn't make this
story
up.
between Dort, a space robot, and Debbie, an activist. And
Ugh.
this DreamWorks
I'm so happy right now.
lady definitely looks a little bit like Carey Mulligan. But
Wait,
there's
please, do you have a
I'm
photo of
sending it to you
this?
now. And then someone also, there's a video of a woman singing Bohemian Rhapsody in a Minions voice. And
Yes, I did see
someone
that.
said, "This is horrendous, but I also feel like a bad person for never thinking a woman could be a minion." That's hilarious.
That's
I'll send you
amazing.
Carey Mulligan in Minions and Monsters. Can you imagine? Like, this is how she can still win. She can be a Minions and Monsters.
Promising young minion.
Young minion,
I
Jesus.
see it. Yes.
Oh,
Yes, I
wait.
see that picture.
I'm pulling it
Very
up.
interesting. So anyway, that's I think that's oh, I have been I started the last season of The Bear. Is it the picture with the hat?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure I got the right one. I started the last season of The Bear. And I don't know, I'm just not into it. Like I know David loved it, and certainly people should go and read his very in-depth review. Because I'm sure that I haven't read it because I don't want any spoilers, but I'm sure that he brings up many great points. And he tried to discuss a couple of things with me, and I just wasn't. I made it through one episode, and I was like, it was one of those episodes where something bad happens every single person the entire 25 minutes, and I'm like, I'm
Hilarious.
not like the episode literally ends with a sewer pipe bursting in the restaurant and spraying characters with poop water.
Shit.
Yeah. And I'm
They do
just
that on
like,
Jackass
I feel
too.
like
What's
if I
that?
turned on,
what'd you say?
Me or him? Did
You.
they do
that on
Oh
Jackass too?
my God. I do feel like if I turned on the bear for the final season, I feel like everyone would just be like this. Like, here we are.
It's basically that
Still doing
the
this.
King of Queens meme. Oh, we're still here. Whoops.
Well, it's gotten great reviews, so it does seem like it's an uptick in quality, and I will finish it, but it's just I watched a second episode and it was still more like, you know, Jeremy Allen White sitting there going,
Should I start back up with season three since that's where I
I'll
left
do it
off?
if you do it.
Okay.
I
Yeah.
regret it already.
Well, we can
Oh, there's
leave
some
comments for each other on TikTok.
Season four, I really liked season four because it had a great guest starring performance by Brie Larson, and she is not being submitted for guest actress in a comedy for some
Why?
reason. I don't know.
That's crazy.
She's fantastic. It's the best thing she's done since Room.
Yeah.
Just not saying a lot, but she hasn't
Oh.
been in many things except for Marvel movies since Room. But
A
anyway,
glass castle.
so does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3M's contending co-founders, Megan McLaughlin, Joey Moser, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for listening and watching, reminding you to click like and subscribe, or give us positive reviews on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow and a happy 4th of July. Happy 250 to America. Don't let certain things steal your joy. It's still a great country.